We'll move to the discussion on security of library facilities. So I put this topic on here because we've now had two break-ins at the Kiowa Library for the purpose of candy, I guess. Is that what they did the second time too?
Yeah, candy and leaving things. The first time they left a vape pen and the second time they left a flute, a little plastic flute.
like
when you buy
a recorder.
Yeah, oh, but it was even littler than that. It looked like a recorder. It was smaller than that.
And so, I mean, and this just made me think about something too that, like Lori said, I think in the last board meeting about the fact that we have employees who stay late, who are by themselves. No offense to you at all, but often are women, right? And so I wanted to make sure that we have a discussion about, I think we need to start discussing. So one of the things that I noticed when I was signing off on checks is that we pay a security company for something.
Central, I don't.
It's the security, it's the fire system.
Right.
Oh, it's for the fire system. That's what they do. Okay. Because I was like, what are we paying for? Because they're obviously not.
Well, and it's $37 a month. It's not.
Oh.
And it's tied into the fire department.
Okay. Okay. So that's what that's for. Okay. Good. Okay. So then I think we need to talk about cameras because we have nothing when you think about, okay, they broke in now twice. We have nobody's seen anything. We're filing reports, but we can't give them any information. And what's to stop them? Right. But if we had cameras on site, indoors and outdoors, and that was something you talked about on your list for the new library, mm-hmm. right? If we had cameras at our facilities,
yeah, then, and trees and
yeah,
and ingress, right?
Yeah. That if we had those cameras, that then when somebody broke in, right, we'd have at least maybe a potential to see who those people are, yeah. and be able to give them
communities like ours. Most of the time, the police will identify who they are because they already know who they're.
Yeah,
problem children are.
Yeah, I'm guessing somebody in Kiowa knows who it is.
Oh, I have an expectation that down the road we will know exactly who did it because in a small town doing a prank like that, they're going to brag about it. So it's just, to me, it's just a matter of time.
But I also know
priority because it's petty, and the
I also know that
say that they will start keeping a closer lookout is what they said.
But I also know that our sheriff's office is understaffed,
right?
Yeah. And so this is petty. This is not a priority. So we need to take something. I mean, I suggest that we look at what are some security options that are available to put on our, you know, on our doors.
There's a way.
Starting outside.
I mean, we.
And maybe have it monitored. Maybe we do a security. I don't know. Some monitored security, right? Where they keep
those tapes. We can buy a monitoring system that has three or four cameras that can be with the recording system that has to be purged once every so many hours. But you can buy those simple systems and then just mount the cameras, and some of the cameras are remotes that you don't need wiring. You just need to mount the camera. You got the base unit, and it will record whatever. And it, I'm not sure if you have to change batteries in the cameras or what, but
I have one like that, and it has to be.
There are a couple of systems that you can get.
Question: we're talking essentially about break-in protection.
Right.
Right. We're not
talking.
I mean, I don't think we have a terrible theft on the inside problem. Or
well, I have a price here on a security door for the back, but.
But our maintenance guy in Kiowa runs a construction company and can get doors at cost for us, and he did measure it. He says it's a real oddball shape, so that's part of the problem why it's expensive, is it's not a standard door, because of course it's not
an older building.
It's not a standard building. And but he believes that there may even be a door that could be used that's at the Elizabeth in storage in Elizabeth. He was going to look into that.
Okay. Well, yeah, because the price I got was a custom welded door, and then it still had to be installed. It was $738.
Anything we get for $50.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. That's way too cheap.
Well, he does all the repairs for like.
And I have
maintenance guy.
A standing offer that you can have a.
That we use for maintenance, yeah.
I have a.
Add one little bit, as a former law enforcement officer, I think that you should probably also expand that in regard to not just something that is reactive, which is what cameras are. I think in today's society, especially because we have the availability that people aren't questioned if they're wearing face coverings, it's going to be very hard for you, even with cameras, to get really anything more than what you're able to get now. So you're going to be wanting to look a little bit more outside of the box for something that's a little bit more proactive. There's a lot of door alarms where you can just simply set up a door, connects to a system. That system can be accessed by managers, whomever is needed. It will also set off, you know, alarms. Sounds sometimes are enough to trigger somebody to walk away, but cameras alone, people at this point in time in society, people aren't necessarily, they'll see a camera and they'll walk right past it. They won't care. They'll still break in if they want to.
I asked about a 500.
Do we have a line item in our budget for building security?
We do not. We'd have to adjust it or use the maintenance.
Okay.
I asked about a 500-pound rock on a pulley, and you step on a platform, and we find you the next morning under the rock. And
I like the idea of just putting a candy bowl outside the door.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but then we'll have bears.
Yeah,
we'll have something.
Or raccoons.
Worse. But on the SWAT team, we used to do a lot of security assessment with the Sheriff's Department. So there's something that you could potentially ask about, just the local Elbert County Sheriff's Department. If they have some type of a reaction team, SWAT team, a lot of the times they will come do it. It's very common to work with schools for that.
I know Tim pretty well. I'll call him.
So you could at least check.
At least get an evaluation.
Yeah.
They'll look at weak points on your buildings. You know, there's active shooter assessment. There's a lot of different assessments that they can do. We used to partner very closely with the county schools for that type of thing. Obviously, you're looking at a much grander scale than a building like ours that just has two entry and exit doors. But definitely, so, and typically that's a free service that they do on behalf of the Sheriff's Department.
I do want to make sure that you know that I do have that fire-rated door. It's oak, and it's more than large enough. It could be cut down. And there's no charge for that.
Well, maybe we just get that over there and have Rick
cut it down.
All we need is, we need a better deadbolt, because the deadbolt that's on there is way too small.
I'm wondering about a thumb latch. You know, double keyed where you have to have the key. It hangs close by in case you have to leave in an emergency, but not close enough that somebody could reach it.
Well, his door won't have a window. Mm-hmm. And so all we need is a hole for the knob and hole for the deadbolt. And I think we'll have to buy a deadbolt and then have it keyed to the handle so the keys match.
Okay. I'll email Rick and ask him if he has the capability of opening and drilling a door. Is it already?
He doesn't. Yeah. I have the tools. And I have the tools also to match keys on. We have a lock cylinder. I can match anything.
All right, perfect.
I have a master key set.
So do we have anything that we're making a decision on that we need to motion?
Well, the way it's written.
I mean, I just said, a discussion of a security. I mean, I just
right.
Just talking about it. I mean, but are we making any?
I personally think let's go with his solid blank and get it installed with a matching knob, and we'll match the existing knob and get a deadbolt.
So then the only other thing that I would ask is that. If we're going to do the door, use your door, he's going to do the, if he can do the cutting or whatever, that if we can, I mean, if he can get the deadbolt, whoever's going to get the deadbolt, right? I guess you could get the deadbolt. Are you planning to purchase the lock, the knob and deadbolt?
Well, I'll go look at the knob and so that I get the same kind of deadbolt so that we have one key works both. And then I'll get, once I, if the existing knob is reusable, then all we have to do is I'll get the deadbolt and then we'll rekey the deadbolt and we'll get one that's keyed both sides.
Okay, just make sure you keep all the receipts for the.
And then I'll just get reimbursed and we'll, okay. And I'll get with Rick and we'll get the job done.
Okay. So I don't think that requires a.
I don't think that requires a vote.
Okay, a review and approval of the director posting and compensation. So this, I gave you guys the, so on yesterday, I had a discussion. I've been playing tag with Anna in the clerk. She works for Sarah. We had a discussion about, she had provided a job posting, which is different than a position description. She'd also, if you remember when we met with Sarah, she had said, oh, you know, we have this wonderful library hiring timeline, right? That we needed to fill in the blanks. So basically, I worked with Anna yesterday. We filled in the blanks. So, and you should have a copy of that, board members, basically. So overall, there's an approach that they want to, that she recommends that we take. And that approach is that, wait, yeah, that's it. And the approach that we take is, as she said, right, they could do it from soup to nuts, nuts to soup, whatever. But they could do it from beginning to end, right? And so, but there's pieces of it we have to do, right? And so she is going to, if we approve this library director posting, right, if you approve this that I gave you, we need to approve that tonight. And then there are some, remember she talked about hooks, right? And those hooks are, I think that's part of this too. It's part of this right here. So what you do, right, is we're marketing this. We put out a hook to all these different places. We post the job on the Pines and Plains Library.
Well, and Jobline.
And Jobline, right. We post it in both places. And it drives people to those locations, right? It drives people to a location to apply for the job. Then what I asked Anna to do is to gather those for us on our behalf. She will gather those for, she will do the marketing. So basically she's going to do the hook. She's going to, we're going to need to post on the board and I'll give that to you. To do that. But she's going to do the hook, the marketing piece and do the posting and she'll put it on her schedule to do regular posting. Cause it's not that you post it one time and let it set for 90 days. You post it and then you continue to post. Right. And we said 3 weeks, I think is what we're giving for the opening is a 3 week period to post this job. When we post this job, you'll have it and we'll give it to the librarian and you can post it in your locations as well. The goal, so we said, we talked about how long would it take to do this process and how long is it going to take, you know, to do the marketing, to do the posting, to gather all the applications, to assess the applications. And I want her to do the initial assessment. Then she'll give, we need to select a committee to do the review, right? Kind of like what we did when we did the board of trustees and we did the interim directors. We had two people who were on the committee and we did the interviewing, the next step in interviewing, that kind of stuff. So she'll gather them all. She'll give them to us, the committee. We'll look at them. We can bring it back to the full board if you want and say, okay, we have so many applicants and here's their resumes. And we can decide then who are we going to interview, right? Then we'll schedule the interviews and then we'll just go through that whole process like we did when we were doing the, when we were doing it for the interim director and when we did it for the board trustee. It's going to be very similar to that, right? So we put a timeline on this and we kind of backed into it. We said, well, that would probably take at longest 90 days. So we're looking at 90 days from start marketing right to hire.
Right.
So we're looking at a November 15th start of pay period because that's the beginning of a pay period, right? So we're looking at a November 15th start. 16th?
Yeah, we go
16 to 15. I always get that confused. So 16. So November 16th start was what we are shooting for. These are just a guideline, right? It's a template for us so that way we kind of stay on schedule. If we can do things earlier, like for example, I think I gave us 2 weeks to schedule interviews, but if we can schedule interviews all in the first week, then we can do that, right? And then that'll cut a week off of it. So the goal is we can do as much as we can as quickly as possible. And there's some things that, like gathering the questions we want to ask, like we did for the interim, putting the rubric together, right? And she will help with all of that. So I thought we would do like we did last time, the committee. We would just gather, we pick the questions, right, that we think we want to ask as a board. We put them in our document for interview questions, and then what we'll do is we'll do the, you know, follow this process. Anyway, November 16th is what we're shooting for. If we can get it done earlier, then we'll do that. It'll just depend on how fast things happen, right? We have no guarantees. We could get, she's going to put it in a lot of places, and she's going to market it. We could get one. We could get five. We could get 10. We could get them local. We might get somebody who's outside. Let's say if somebody wanted to come from Texas, right? So we may have to not only consider what we're looking at as a salary range, but we may also have to consider if we select a candidate outside of our local location, we may have to consider something like a relocation or some kind of a bonus, you know, higher on bonus or something. In terms of the salary range, what I'm recommending, and this comes from looking at the operating revenue, other counties with like operating revenues, there are a lot, some of those other counties were like Pueblo, they were bigger counties with the same, we have a big operating revenue compared to other counties with, you know, littler yes. people, right? Less people. So those were like 111 and above. And so what I said to Anna, well, I think we can fairly say like 70 to 90 is a range depending upon experience. And she thought that was a good range. So I wanted to provide this to you because this is what we're going to follow.
Is that salary range in here?
No, I did not put it in here. Okay. We didn't put it in here. with just a knowing that, right, we may have to do like a bonus of some, you know, some other stuff. Well, the question I have is, I'd like to lead the committee. Is there anybody, Sheila, or you haven't done this, would you like to potentially be on that committee?
I would be very interested. My only concern is that with your timeline, you have a lot going on around the beginning of September, and my big annual conference
is in September
that week. So like I'm basically the last week of August and that first week of September, I am completely unavailable. Can after that, my life gets
do you have easier. Any interest?
No.
I'm
out of my depth. I know my limitations.
Hit that mark right now.
Well, do you want, I mean, that mark is basically the committee. Okay.
You're the committee. I make a motion that we make Patty and Robert the committee.
Hold on now.
Right, hold on. Yes, hold on. Because, thank you. And I want you guys to know, and you'll see this in here. You'll see this in here, right? Who's doing what? We added that. So also, and we'll wait to see what kind of candidates we get, but we will be like bringing them to the library, right? To do interviews. We will be introducing them to library staff. And depending on how it kind of ends up, we'll potentially also bring them to a board meeting, right? So that way, you guys can see and be engaged.
I know that at the November meeting when Tim had, you know, the emergency meeting you had, there was discussion about having employees on the selection committee. Are you going to consider having an employee or two on the selection committee?
No, we're not. We're going to keep it within the board because that director reports to the board. But
the director will be our direct supervisor.
I understand. And so after we get the candidates, what we talked about, Anna and I talked about, is some way to for you guys to engage with them, that person.
And feedback to you.
And give feedback.
So only, but you, that person will already be selected?
No, no.
We'll introduce multiple candidates.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're.
Well, I just was clarifying.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it, you would have to have some choice.
I mean, you'll have your.
You'll have your chance to have comment and feedback.
A panel of people that you can put your ore in there. This one looks rough, that one is good, and.
I don't like this one.
And we'll have that, that will be constructed and that will be equitable for all, right? That we, all the candidates we get.
Whatever.
Yes, and what we said is let's get this kicked off and let's get this started, right? Because that's the most important thing. And then of course, yeah, and then of course we'll engage at the appropriate place to say, okay, here's what we're doing.
So my question is, do we need to just say that we're gonna do this plan and we don't need a motion to?
I need a motion to approve the, before you do that, hold on.
Job posting is what you're really looking for.
Hold on. Yeah, no, hold on. So the other thing is, if you look in the back of that document that I gave you on the hiring timeline, there are some sample email hooks, right? And so Lori and I looked at these and we thought they were like, they're all. Yeah, they're all really good. Like, for example, here's one, it says Elbert County has, the subject is 14.1 people per square mile. And then it says Elbert County has 1,850.8 square miles and is the 21st largest county in Colorado. That's a lot of open space, but the landscape is dotted with the Four Pines and Plains libraries, Elbert, Elizabeth, Kiowa, and Simla. Folks in Elbert County like a little more elbow room. There is one space that needs filling, and that is the library director positions for the Pines and Plains Library District. And then there's a link to the job line ad where the ad is posted. So, I mean, there's another one that talks about, you know, you'll never meet an alpaca you don't like. And it says, as for the rest of the residents, it's 50-50, but the library is for every one of every persuasion. The alpacas have to wait in the parking lot, though. That's Elbert County, Colorado, and that's what it takes to be the library director here. Interested? Right? So those are hooks. Those are things to bring people in. There's a whole bunch. I mean, there were like 10 of them. I think all of them are fine. And she said they could use a different hook every time they market. So I said, I thought these hooks were fine. They describe Elbert County, right? And kind of like draw people in. And so I'm good with that. And she said they'd use a different hook every time they remarketed the ad, which she said she would set it up. I think she said weekly.
Question. So we're voting on a code of a director posting based on what Anna has set up.
Yeah, we're voting on the approval of the director posting using these hooks and this hiring timeline.
Okay. Is the compensation part of this too?
Oh, and the compensation.
I understand what this is. Option one means it's gonna.
Oh, not that one. That's not part of that. Okay, that's something different.
So what posting am I?
Okay, so that is this is what they're gonna post, right? This is what they're gonna post.
The job description?
Yes. This isn't the job description. This is really the job ad.
That's what they're gonna post.
They're gonna post this.
And so we're talking about that document.
So with this document there was a bunch of hooks. So they're going to use those hooks. They're going to post this job.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
And then the salary for this job, I'm recommending 70 to 90K, depending upon experience. And that, and then this is the timeline for the hiring process, the search and hiring process.
Hiring timeline.
Yeah. And then the committee. If you want to take a minute to take a look at that before we make any motions.
Might I add that if any of the employees had any particular criterion you'd like us to focus on, it would be helpful for us to have that as we construct these, you know, application sessions. You know, we had to put those together for the trustees, and it was important to us to make sure that everybody was consulted. And I take very seriously your question about, you know, your input to this. So if you have suggestions for us, I would encourage it.
I think my biggest one is that they embrace, and not in just word, but in their actions and in their performance, you know, if you're doing background checks and references, is that they not just speak to our mission and our values, but they actually have demonstrated that.
They walk the talk.
They walk the talk, exactly. Because to me, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Understood.
I think it'd be a good idea.
Actually, if you look here on these hooks, this one down here fits your deal. Right on the money.
I didn't give them a copy of the hook, so.
But it's.
I didn't get
seen any of the.
But it what it says, it works well with board members. Seeks a collaborative leader who can show a library staff a clear path forward while working.
I gave you the library director.
Here, you can see this is the. I'm going to give you a copy. Here, this is a copy.
Distributed, I think, to both Lori and I, but.
Well, we were, I was using her as.
We'll make sure.
Yeah. We'll do it.
That particular hook right there, that addresses exactly what you're asking.
Well, the hooks are on the.
I think it actually goes beyond.
Right, but that's a start.
There's a copy of the hook, so.
I think what he's getting at is more like when we're doing our interviews, when we're.
It's cultural. It speaks to culture.
When we're talking to their references, you know, are they who they said they were?
Yeah, no, I agree. We need to make sure of that. As Kathy says, that they walk the talk.
We don't want somebody a three-piece suit guy.
Well, it's not even that. I don't care how they dress. I don't want to see a culture change. We have a very productive, very positively oriented culture that interacts with our communities and our within our staff, and that to me is the foundation of what we do and how we do it. So the culture is extremely important.
I think the culture is important, but I also think from a board, based on things that we've talked about, is they have to have that operations experience.
Well,
and that,
yeah, I'm just speaking to what's important to me.
Right.
I expect that's a given. That's not even on the.
No, that.
I mean, if they can't.
Your passion for the position is noted. It is something that's essential.
Okay, so.
I was starting to say.
Sorry.
I think it'd be a good idea, just everybody, when they have a little bit of time, to look at the Colorado State Library job line. Because there you see who else is posting and for how much and how things are written. And we'll the other great thing is.
Anna had done that too.
But you see the ones that aren't written very well. And you say, oh, they didn't have an Anna. But there are ones where they just put the job description up and you kind of go, eh.
And Anna said, you know, we talked about, like, did she think 90 days was right? There's two or three director jobs out there that they haven't hired yet. So she goes, it could be a number of reasons, right? But she says, you know, that. So she talked about that. Okay. All right. So we need to vote on the library position description, which is not the same as the library posting, which is not the same as the library position description, which is right. More entailed.
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to vote on the library posting with the salary of 70-90K, vote on the timeline, and then on the committee. So let's just do it. I think it'd be easier for you, Karen, if we did it three, can we have a motion that we, if everybody's ready, are everybody ready? Any other comments? Okay, let's make a motion then about the posting on, approving the library posting and the salary.
And not the timeline.
Well, I'll do second motion for the timeline. Well, we can use the timeline, let's say that, the library posting with the salary and the timeline.
Okay, that would be.
Easier, okay. Do you want to make a motion, Robert?
You just made one.
Oh, okay.
We'll buy it. I would second that.
Yeah, you never get to do that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it carries. And then the committee, so make a motion on who the committee.
Make a motion that.
And this will be the
Hiring
committee for the new director.
I make a motion that the hiring committee for the director consists of Patty Lampman and Robert Thomason.
I would second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And it carries, motion carries. Okay. Thank you. And I will, what I am going to do is I will let Anna know that we approve this. We approve the hooks. We approve the salary. And then I'll send you guys the soft copies of the posting so that that way you guys can put that on the website for her on Friday. By Friday, because I think what we said was we would post on Friday. She's going to set it up Friday, so it runs, starts to run over the weekend. So if we could get it posted on Friday to our website, I think that would be helpful. So I'll send that back to her and let her know.
So let me be clear. What are we posting? We're posting
her. I'm just going to post the posting.
The job description or what Anna.
This. This posting.
I don't think we posted anything where we just put the job description up.
Okay, I'll talk to her about the.
I usually do a link. I do. Yeah. I do like a basic description that is basically that template that says a director position.
Oh, she'll. Oh, hours, yeah.
This is the salary. This is the benefits offered.
Yeah.
Job posting is open till filled or whatever, and here's then the link to where they need to send this information and a link to the job description.
I will.
That's how I generally post those.
Okay, I'll talk to her about it and we'll get you what you need. So maybe I was a little unclear about what she was saying, but we'll make sure that I'm not sure. I know she's going to post on the job line. So I don't know if she's putting the posting there and she's going to link back to there and she wants to put, I'll ask her, but we'll get it for you, Lori. I'll let you know. Okay. The next comment is not this Mountain States, but a discussion and approval to go forward with the compensation survey by the Employers Council. So when we had our working meeting about the director, one of the comments that Sarah had indicated, right, is that we should consider, especially since we're beginning to do budget, we should consider an employee, a survey, a salary survey for in this district for, or a salary survey for like jobs, right, that are happening in this library district. And so I had a conversation. I think her name is Cassie. What do I do with that? Let me see. Can I see your copy of that compensation one? I had a conversation about doing the salary survey. So basically what they would go out and do is they would go out and take our jobs and they'd go out for like districts and they would look for what are the salaries being paid to the same type of employees that we have, and then they would come back and give us that information. Now we have that Employers Council contract, which covers 7 surveys for 7 different jobs. So I said, okay, well, we want to use that, right? And then what I also talked to them about is we have not, and we had talked to Tim about this before, but we really don't have a pay for performance kind of compensation strategy, compensation and performance strategy. So what I talked to them about is, can we talk about that? Can you do this survey so we have some numbers so that when we're doing budget, we can have real data to try to base our budget for next year on salaries, right, for all employees? And then can we also have you take a look and give us some example or give us some recommendation on how, is it possible and should we do like a pay for performance kind of performance compensation philosophy? And so she said, yes, they could do that. And what I would say is, what I predominantly am looking for is, I'm looking for the salary survey, because in the budget this year, when we plan for next year's salaries for our employees, I want to make sure that based on our operating revenue, right, that we're compensating as best we can. And I don't know, because I don't have the data in front of me, right, like compensating fairly, right, and with like jobs in the area. So because we have that contract, she would use that, right? But then it would also be like $180 an hour for every hour I spent with her, right, having to answer her questions and go through her activities. Like she says here, right, this process to initiate a project is an informational discussion. We did that. She provided a quote. That's what this is, right? And then this initial engagement letter, which would have to be signed, which we did that with the auditor too. And then we would upload some company data via a template. And then she would then give us, have a consultant assigned to us. And then they would begin to go out and do the salary survey. Large companies do this all the time. I think that our salaries have been suppressed for so long because, you know, of our operating revenue and the fact we were trying to pay off the building, right? But I think we really need to look at that going forward. And there's growth in the county, right? And so I want to see what the survey tells us, and then we can bring forward a recommendation, right, in the budget that we'll all vote on. But I don't think we have, without having that salary survey, we're just guesstimating, right? We don't really know. And I don't want to do that. I want to try to be more thoughtful about it. And so I'm recommending, right, that we do option two, which is a combination of surveys and compensation, this compensation department, which is they would look at the structure of the philosophy via the compensation department. We may just get the salary surveys, but if we do this and then we get a director hired, then the director could work with what we've already started and finish it out, right? Which is kind of what I'm thinking, could finish out like what's the compensation philosophy, what's the performance philosophy that we're going to use. So,
okay, I guess the big question is, how many hours do you expect to be consumed? Mm-hmm. Is this going to be 20 hours? Is this going to be 30 hours? How many hours at the $180? So are we, what I'm asking is this going to, are we going to end up with a gross cost of 1800, 3200? Where are we going to be?
I'll tell you. So, I mean, I'm thinking at most 40 hours, but and that would be at a cost of $7,200 at $180 an hour. But I will tell her, right, if that's what we vote on, that we're looking at, I mean, the seven complimentary matches via the surveys department, we're not paying for that, right? That's part of our consulting fee that we already pay.
Those would be in addition to.
Right. That $180 an hour is an addition. That's like to work with someone personally to answer any questions or.
Do you think that seven complimentary matches via the surveys department wouldn't be enough? Because I'm not understanding what structure and philosophy via compensation department means.
So what we do today is we look at our operating revenue and we make a determination. What can we afford to pay, right? Mm-hmm. And we say, we don't know what's being paid in the community. All we're saying is based on our operating revenue, we can give a 2.5%, we can give a 3.5%, we can give a 3% increase, right? We don't really have a philosophy around that and say, well, if Jen is performing extremely, please don't take this personal, like if Jen is performing greater than, you know, exceeding expectations than Dell, then we have no way to really acknowledge that, right? And say, oh, well, you're doing a better job, because what we do is we give everybody a 3.5 or 2.5 or whatever it is. We give everybody a straight increase and there's no incentive, right? So what I would like to do is I'd like to see, is it possible for us to do a kind of a pay for performance compensation philosophy, which means based on how you perform, you know, determines an increase that you might get. I don't know if it's something that we can do in a government type operation, because we have a fixed budget based on our operating revenue. But I'd like to see if there's some way or a hybrid of that that we could, because I think it's great to give everybody like a straight increase, right? But I also think that if you have top performers, or if you have people who are performing or exceeding expectations, that it gives a way to differentiate employees and potentially incentivize them to perform, right? Well,
there was a time that they did that, and how they did it was there was a straight increase for every employee, and then each manager was given an allotment of a pool of money and a bonus that then we could distribute based on how, you know, on their performance. Yeah. And so that was what has been used in the past.
And maybe
another way I've seen it done is that, you know, all employees are getting
straight
1%. And then the managers have an optional 2 or 3% that they can give depending on, you know, that employee's performance that year. So
based on a bonus, or is it an increase to base?
It's not a bonus, it's an increase to base.
Right. And so I'd like for them to say, here's some options for you. And of course, let the director determine if that's something that they want to do. But I'd like to get it started, because I talked to Tim about this. I think for 2 years, I kind of talked to him about, I think, can we look at that, right? And I think it's even more important now, right? We have employees who, we pay them what we can, what we can afford to pay them based on our operating revenue. But I want to make sure that we're really looking that we're paying people appropriately if we can. I don't know what we can bring people up to, but I like to understand what are we competing against, so that we can keep our good employees and incentivize them to continue to work.
It's going beyond the director then, of course.
Well, it starts now with a survey, because we need the survey data to be able to do a budget for 2023, right? That budget activity starts it really kind of started in July with Mary Ellen. She started to kind of put that together. So I want to look at that and see, right? I want to have the data to justify, or to be able to say, okay, we can justify maybe doing this based on our operating revenue, or based on our operating revenue, we can't do this, but this is how close we can try to get to that.
So what we could do is, like, we can find out, you know, where we are compared to other places, on salaries, maybe plan some changes in salaries into our budget for the coming year. And then the new director might be able to help develop the
future
compensation.
So in other words, what you're saying, the cost of that would be anywhere from $3,240 to $7,000.
No, what they said is if we went with option one, where they just kind of do the salary survey and do that against our current structure and philosophy, $3,200. But we pay them an amount every year for consulting services. So what they said is those 7 complimentary matches are part of those consulting services. And then any additional support that they provide us would be $180 an hour. So they may just do the complimentary matches. And I mean, I only need to talk to them a couple of hours, right? And so we're going to be charged, you know, $200 and $360, okay. Right? But when it comes to the compensation, this structure and philosophy, and when they say via the compensation department, it's the compensation department at the Employers Council who's doing the work.
Right.
So when they say that, that's just saying that they're also going to give us some additional stuff other than just this survey, which our consulting fees already pay for.
Okay, so it maybe stands more to reason to do the second one.
That's what I was saying.
Pieces as we go and budget accordingly.
We can start the process, we can start the discussion, we can get the survey data so we can do the budget and then begin that process of, you know, what does compensation and a performance philosophy look like? And work that with the director when they come in.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
Okay. I have a hard time with the 7,200. I'm thinking more like 5,000 bucks.
I'm only saying 7,200 because I'm saying like 40 hours. I don't know that it would exceed 40 hours. I don't know. We don't know like what kind of questions they might ask, what kind of questions or discussions we might want to have, right?
And you could not necessarily go.
It could be me just talking to him for an hour, and then we, you know, to do this 7 complimentary matches.
So, Alan, are you wanting to approve this with a ceiling?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Do we need to put a ceiling on this, or do we just need to say the 180 bucks an hour?
I would say I would put the ceiling, but I'd put the ceiling at 40 hours, not to exceed 40 hours. And if it exceeds 40 hours, then we would have to come back. But I just say 40 hours because that's like a week worth of work. Think about it. It's like, that's probably more than enough, right? I mean, that's like having 40 hours of discussion, which I don't believe that we'll have that, right? But
you would put an upper limit of 40 hours.
That's 7,200 bucks.
I know.
That's to me.
This costs money, you guys. To do this costs money, right? Like, it's not cheap. But the reward for doing it right, is that hopefully we can have a better, we do better in rewarding our employees.
Well, then I guess I'd have to go back to let's make the motion. We do the second option with a fee not to exceed $7,200 and hope and pray that we get this done for less.
No, what I will do is I'll go back to her and let her know, okay, we approved the second option, but we don't want to exceed 40 hours. Do you think it will exceed? And if she comes back and says something different, then I'll say, okay, let me go back and talk to them before you do any, go ahead and do the 7 complimentary surveys, right? And get the survey stuff started, which is what we need for the budget.
Okay.
And then anything else, like to talk about anything else, I'll hold on that.
Okay.
So how are we going to make this a motion?
I say I make a motion that we go with option 2 with the 7 complimentary matches via the surveys department and any hourly assistance with our structure on philosophy via compensation department on the performance structure that it's at $180 an hour, not to exceed $7,200.
Okay. I'll buy that. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a second? Is that Sheila's second?
Who's first? Well, yeah. I'll put my name on the first the first part.
And I use this terminology right here.
Yes. Right. She just read off that paragraph option 2 there. Okay, would not exceed.
All righty.
Okay. Yes. This is good.
303, would that work?
Yeah, oh yeah,
sure, absolutely.
Okay, the next topic is the supplemental pay equity discussion. So I want to give a little bit of history. So last month when we met, we talked about compensating our library managers with the supplemental pay that we were giving them already based on the fact that we were losing a library manager and we knew they would need to help support the other library and that with the assumption that it would take, you know, extra effort to do that. And so, I mean, we kind of just, and in that last meeting, Kathy, stepped down from the financial admin job. She wanted additional pay, and that additional pay was more than what we would pay the CPA to do the activity. So we asked Kathy you know, just to transition that financial activity to Mary Ellen and let Mary Ellen support it from now on. And we had asked Lori, Lori had stepped down from the interim director role. So we asked Lori, is it okay if we continue you as like the central point of focus for director stuff, because everything should be coming into the Elizabeth Library, because when we hire the director, we want one person to transition that stuff to whatever she signed on to, right? As the point of contact to transition that to the library director. We didn't, I mean, we really didn't talk more about it than that. And then we agreed on just continuing the compensation. So I got a question from Kathy asking, could she be compensated the same as Lori? Because she said that she was managing the Kiowa Library. She was going there once a week to provide moral support, that she had done some director activities, which was dealing with the grants, and thought that we should be paying, you know, equitably. And I don't disagree with that. If they are doing like work, you know, the pay should be equitable. But then it begged the question. It made me think about, okay, salaried exempt managers are classified as salaried exempt. They're required to work 40 hours a week. Okay. They're not, we're as legally, we're not required to pay overtime for salaried exempt employees. And the reason why they're classified as exempt is because they're managers. They manage two full-time equivalents or something, something in likeness, meaning you have multiple employees and you have two 40-hour employees, right? They're something in an equivalent. So the question comes back to the board. One, do we want to continue the compensation? I guess the question is, what duties have changed from the duties they already have as a library manager, right, that would warrant additional compensation? And do we as a board want to continue to pay the supplemental pay, or do we want to relook at the amount that we were paying based on the additional responsibilities? And if so, what should that amount be? And do we want to how long do we want to continue that for? So we're re-looking back at the previous motion. We didn't give a lot of thought to that, I don't think, and I think we need to come back and we need to talk about it.
That was a lot.
It was a lot.
So yeah, I know that Lori is working as the point of contact for the director kinds of thing. So we have the supplemental pay for that in place. As far as, you know, library management, I mean, I'm not sure how Kathy's position has changed.
Kathy's position, she is now covering basically two branches.
Yeah, three. I'm not managing Sandy, but I'm doing all the purchasing, all the POs, all the management of Kiowa, responding to crisis and break-ins, quite a bit.
I agree. I think.
In addition to, I think what it's not understood is that the division of there's one thing to be a point of contact, and there's a difference between point of contact and delegation of work. And so Lori and I have been splitting up things that are coming in. We're bailing. We are the two of us are on a sinking ship. We are bailing water as fast as we can. So when tasks come up, we don't go, that's a director task. Mm-hmm. That's a management mm-hmm. task. This is a director task. Oh, that's a management task. I go, my strength, my, you know, that's in my wheelhouse. I'll take that one. Lori goes, my wheelhouse. I'll take that one. And that's how we do it. And I can't sit here and tell you, I did this and it was a director. And I don't think about that. I think about getting the work done because I have to keep bailing to keep this boat afloat. Between the two of us, we're doing 4.5 jobs. So
I personally think the both of you need to be compensated exactly the same.
That was my request.
That's what I think, because I see both of you doing X number of things that are above and beyond what you would normally do just dealing with your branch. And you both have your oars in the water. And so you both have stepped up at any one time for any of those positions and got it done. So I personally think that both of you should be compensated the same.
I have talked to Kathy, and I think I've told Patty too, I'd be willing for us to split the difference, to average the two. And I would take less than I'm taking now, and Kathy would take more than what she's taking now. Kathy is able to do things that I can't do. I have no HR background. I have very little business background. I have real estate background, but I don't know about running a business. And if we two can't work together, it ain't gonna work, because it's
I can see that. To me, it's. I don't think it should be lopsided, is where I'm getting to, and so the amount.
And I don't want to talk about the actual amount,
I think the consensus is, or at least I would hope the rest of the board is.
Are you okay with that?
I'm fine with amounts, because it's all on record. It's,
okay.
It's public.
Well, my thought is I want to get to a consensus with the board here that we agree that both of you should be equal, and that's where I think we need to get.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, when you brought forward your question, I didn't disagree with that, right? I don't disagree. And I did go, and you said, you know, talk to Lori, and I asked Lori, like, what are you doing and what is she doing? And she told me, you guys are basically, what do I want to say? You, like, you're teaming it. You're tag teaming it, and you're using your strengths to do that activity. So I don't have a problem with equal compensation, but I think we need to talk about what should that compensation be, right? It's like the responsibility. So let me just say this. Like, if we look at it from a salaried exempt position perspective, their duties have not changed. They're just doing them more broadly, right? You're still doing the same things you would do as a library manager. You're just doing it more broadly.
No, we're doing things.
I think you're doing more. You're doing
like what things?
Can you talk about fire inspections and even and just weird stuff, like weird stuff comes up and we're like, did you know? Nope, I didn't know. Okay,
well, let's that... do it.
I mean, no, they're monthly. We get blindsided monthly with different things, that because we don't have any legacy person here to say, oh, in the month of July, you need to do XYZ. And in the month of February, you should have done da 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 da. And so we have no legacy help. We are literally firefighters every single day, because a fire comes up regularly. And that's when we delegate. We'll go, oh crap. And she goes, oh crap. And then we go, okay, who's going to run with this one? And we decide, or sometimes we divide and conquer. And sometimes, you know, but I can't even tell you, we're so inundated with all of the duties that we are doing together. I can't tell you what I did yesterday, let alone what I did this morning, because I know what I need to get done. And I move that direction. And then when a fire comes, I put the fire out, and then I keep going. And I know Lori's operating in the same vein, but no, it's not our normal duties that we are fulfilling.
But they are management duties. I guess that's where I'm going. They're management.
They're operational duties.
Yeah.
Yep. Our management duties, you have an
so don't you have the
operational duties that are up here and a person, you know, a director is working on an operational level, and then managers are taking care of the next rung down.
But the question I have is, do you take care of the operational stuff in your library? Like if somebody.
But I'm saying, but there are district wide and district things that are operational that are that we don't even know that we're getting done by Wendy and Tim. We had no idea that this was going on or that was going on.
I can understand that because the board has picked up some director activities too and trying to help.
Well, sure.
So see that.
And that's not what we want to do.
Need to keep in mind.
But that's my explanation. Right. The answer is no. We're doing way more than just our management duties.
Okay.
When I signed up for the board, I had no idea that I would be doing some of the things that I've been doing. And so what it amounts to is we're all going about doing our, you know, what we thought we were supposed to be doing. But we can't ignore the things that are, you know.
That come every day.
That come every day. I mean, you have to do that.
And we need a director. I just want you to know that we need a director and that we're getting this posted so we can get a director.
To be able to convey that information to one another. And so this is enlightening. A lot of this for us, I'm sure, I can only speak for myself. And I think there's a tendency on people's parts to just say, well, okay, I'll just take care of this. You know, I don't want to grouse. I don't want to be a complainer or what have you. But ultimately then, you know, when the rubber hits the road and you're worn out after 40 hours or 50 hours or whatever it is that you're actually spending getting it all done. I think the thing that causes friction sometimes is that, you know, we just all need to get that information out there. We have to get that so that it doesn't come to the point where, you know, we get to the table and you say, well, you just don't know what I'm doing. And it's nobody wants to say to you, no, I don't think you're doing that. I believe you.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're doing.
I don't think anybody's disagreeing with it. We just need to sit and listen to one another like this. I know that this meeting, for instance, is really long. It's really necessary because I wouldn't have known some of this if it wasn't, you know, whatever time it is, and we hadn't gotten to this point. So this is an eye opener for me.
So do we want to?
Well,
my thought is.
Do you have any additional comments?
Do I,
Sheila? Yeah. Do you have anything?
No. I mean, that was really the answer to my question.
Okay.
Like, if they're in agreement,
do we need to have a
above and beyond?
Well, okay.
That's not really
the amount of the cost. It sounds like we've come to consensus that it needs to be equal. So do we need to discuss the cost at this time, or is that for another closed session?
No.
Why
can't we just say what she had to give that to her?
Well, so then that becomes the question is that extra work valued at, this is basically like a bonus, right? So is it valued at $1,500 a month, or should we split it and do $1,000 a month for each?
And I'll beg, I'm just going to interject that only a month ago you were paying Ruben $1,500 and Lori $1,500. And now Lori and I are splitting yet another job. So where Ruben and Lori were splitting the interim directorship and I was doing the bookkeeping and the financial and admin stuff, now Lori and I are not only splitting the director at job responsibilities, but we have the added responsibilities of two more branches. So in actuality, we're now taking on even more than Ruben and Lori were at $1,500 apiece. So I'll just interject that.
Well, that's good information.
Well, it sounds to me like it needs to be $1,500
yeah.
each.
Yeah.
Is what it sounds like to me. Is that seem reasonable?
I'm most concerned that we're paid the same. That's.
Well, are you? Is $1,500 sound reasonable?
That's fine. I just want to clarify as far as like the job responsibilities. That was what I.
Because I firmly believe that you are more than doing. I mean, the things that you keep getting dumped with that you find out about weekly, things that Wendy and or Tim did that were just magically happened.
It's surprising. We get surprised a lot.
So anyway, so that I guess, so do we need to make a motion that we approve the $1,500 a month for both? Is that what the motion needs to be? Or do we need to do it as a motion?
I think we need to get everybody's opinion about whether it should be $1,000 or $1,500.
Well, I'm for the $1,500, so.
I would say if we're going to do this, that we should give the $1,500.
Yeah, okay. That's my vote.
Okay. Okay. Any comments?
I can't disagree with that.
Okay. I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I'm getting, it's a board decision. So I want to make sure that we're all in consensus when we make this and that we've talked about it, because we didn't do a lot of discussion last month when we probably should have. It probably would have helped. So then can somebody make a motion that we continue? And then the other thing that I'd like to say is we had said until a director is hired, but I think maybe we should adjust that and say until a library manager is hired, and then let's relook it and see what responsibilities are left out then, and then we'll come back to the table and adjust it.
Right. Absolutely.
Do you have a motion for that?
Yes. I'd like to make a motion.
What did you just say?
It sounded so good.
I'd like to make a motion. Sorry, I'm getting some heartburn now. I didn't eat dinner tonight. So it's starting to come up. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, so I'd like to make a motion. No, that's okay. Do you have a Tums? So that might help. No, I'm not really hungry, but when I don't eat, that, you know, it's coming to the chest. So I'd like to make a motion that we raise the supplemental pay for Kathy to $1,500 to align with the supplemental pay that we're paying to Lori for these additional duties of managing this library, and that we do this through the point we hire a library manager, at which time we will come back to the board and we will reevaluate the duties and determine if additional supplemental pay is warranted.
I would second that.
All in favor, say aye. 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 Carries. Motion carries. Okay.
I have a question, and I should have caught this when you sent the agenda. So we're talking about hiring a manager, but we didn't put it on the agenda. We've got a job description all ready to go. But
I'm going to cover this any other items of the business, because I forgot to do it, because I need to give you a salary so you can post the job.
Well, we did some research, so we have a recommendation on the salary if you don't really have one.
Okay. So, then this is where we... Okay. Oh, no. The next one is policy discussion regarding salaried exempt employees recording time and time off requests in the absence of director. So I put this on the agenda and I thought about this, and why this came up is because when I was approving checks, I was validating, you know, salaries and pay amounts and making sure everything was right. And I noticed, right, that, our managers don't record hours. You guys don't track your time. And so I think it's important from a transparency and accountability perspective that all employees track time worked, right? If you're an exempt employee, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you work 40 hours or 50 hours, right? You're only going to get paid for 40. If you're a salaried non-exempt employee, and I thought about this too about them, because are they recording all their time worked, or are they just recording 40 hours because it looks like the schedule? And that may be right, right? But I want to make sure that if they're working additional hours in support of you guys because you are doing all this other stuff, that they're recording all their time worked so that we can pay them accordingly. Because a salaried non-exempt, your leads, right? Your two of the leads, right, are salaried non-exempt. If they're non-exempt and they're working over 40 hours, they should be paid time and a half. So I just want to make sure that they're recording their time, right? Like, they're not just going, well, I'm a salaried employee and I don't have to record my time. So, I mean, I just got to record my time, but I'm only going to get paid, right, for
40 hours. That's not true. If they're working over 40 hours, of course, we have in the handbook a policy that they can't work overtime without your approvals as managers, right? But if they're working over 40 hours in a week, they should, we have to pay them by law. So I want to make sure that's happening too. Okay. I know that asking people to, I mean, this is kind of getting in the weeds, and I'm happy to, you know, if we don't want to do this, that we wait for the director and bring it up with the director, you know, about recording time. I just think everybody recording time is just transparency and accountability, especially because we're giving you the supplemental bonus, right? If somebody were to go, well, why are you paying them $1,500 when they're salaried? I mean, it's just, well, we can say, I mean, it doesn't matter because you can't get paid for overtime, right? But that was the thought behind it. I'm not asking, I mean, the board is happy to say anything about it, but I'm happy to table that.
I think we ought to wait till we have a director and let a director determine how they want to handle recording time and keeping records of those things. I don't know. I work in an environment where we do exception reporting, and you know, you only report when you don't work 40 hours. So,
well, you know, the other thing, I have pretty extensive HR background, and one of the things that can happen, and I saw this because I went through a DOL investigation at a school district.
Department of Labor.
Oh, yeah, Department of Labor, sorry, DOL.
And exception reporting is when, like she said, you don't work for the 40 hours, then you take your time off or whatever. Yeah. You do something that says
and then
that.
They might deduct your pay or something. Yeah. But there is a risk that an organization can take if they ask your, we don't have schedules. We flex based on the need in our communities. And so if, let's say, you have us start recording our time, if let's say we're regularly doing 50, 60 hours in on these deals, and it doesn't even have to be one of us. It could be an employee that knows, because our employees know how many hours we're working. You can ask my people, they'll tell you how, when and my schedule and how and all of that. But the problem is if you go to 50, 60 hours a week on a regular basis, that can generate a Department of Labor investigation. And now the district's they will make you go back and do back pay of overtime, even on.
It depends on your responsibilities.
Well, no, not really. Because if they
your duties.
The salaries are set up so that, you know, the idea is that you're getting your time plus some overtime because there's an expectation you're going to do this, you know. But if you are doing, you know, ongoing overtime, DOL can come back and make an organ. I'm just saying there is a risk. And I would suggest that if you want to move that way, whether there's a director or not, that you contact the Employers Council and maybe get an opinion from them. Because there is, I'm just trying to share with you that there's an inherent risk financially that it could drive an investigation and it could cause the district to come at a financial burden when it's not budgeted, it's not anything, and now all of a sudden you're having to pay people. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying. If Janie's only writing down her schedule and not telling you overtime, and then you need to pay that. Well, if we as exempt salary are doing significant overtime, they will hit you with that. I watched it happen. And it was a big, huge burden, especially in a large school.
Well, I can say that's something, right? Like, I'm salaried exempt. I have to work 40 hours. If I were, I record all time worked, my 40 hours plus any overtime that I work. One of the ways a manager, right, can't, and my employees who are salaried exempt do the same. One of the things as a manager that, or as a director would look at, like, let's say you're saying, I got all this work, right? Then it might mean, okay, maybe we need to relook your job position and we need to hire a part-time employee to do some of that work, right? So that you're not consistently working 50 or 60 hours a week, because nobody wants that for any of their employees, right? So it's also just can be a measurement of, do we need additional labor, right? Is the work here warranting additional labor?
You don't want to be exploiting, in a position where we're exploiting people by, you know, overburdening them.
There's also industries like yours that do require the employees, because it's justifiable because of contracts and things like this. But there are organizations like ours where they will look and say, well, it's not really justifiable to have those employees recording their contracts.
And that's why.
Yeah, and I think again, this is another reason why we want
it needs to go to the director,
because you know, there are ways to ameliorate a situation like that as well, because a director can make a decision to give somebody compensatory time.
That was just exactly what I was going to say. This is where we're feeling, the two of us, and as a consequence, everybody else, feeling the absence of a director.
Yeah,
because when we have a director, had a director, we were talking about this weekly and would have the option, you know, the situation to say, you know, I am swamped. I cannot do this. This is too much. And we could, I don't want to say negotiate, but talk about who takes on what.
And what the priorities were.
Or shift priorities. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's one thing, is that I desperately missed that. I did not realize how much I depended one on, I didn't record hours, but I gave weekly bullet points, and my phone still goes off every Thursday night.
And I want it to be clear. Yeah. I don't not think you're not working 40 hours. That was not the intent of that. It was to try to help to understand, like, how many hours are you working?
In terms of response to this particular bullet was, I don't have time to record my time. You know, it's just like, again, we're bailing here. We're bailing water on a regular basis.
And I'd like to add one thing. We want a director as badly as you do.
Yeah.
Because the stuff that we end up doing is weird.
We understand.
We're volunteers, and our volunteer activity did not take into consideration the other.
I want a director first and foremost, because I really do think that it's going to be the best thing for our employees.
Well, yes, and I just want to say that having a director, it's not been that it's not been a priority. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on in the first 6 months, you know, in terms of trying to get the budget, you know, submitted on time and working the budget from not knowing all the details of what was going on behind it. And then the audit took a long time, right? It took a lot of time to get the audit done. So as I kept saying, as soon as we get this audit done, we'll work on the director. So we were able to, and we needed help with that, right? Like, we needed help with that. We don't have time to be out there doing all the marketing and all that stuff. So, and neither do y'all. And it's a responsibility of the board. So we've got Click on board. We've got a schedule now, and we're going to try to march to that schedule or pull it in as quickly as we can so that we can get this done, because we need a director. And as I've said to Lori, and I say, Kathy, it's just because when I've been in the office or whatever, and I talk to Lori, it's that my goal as the president of the board is that by the end of the year, we have the structure back in place that y'all need, right? So that in January, right, we're back to doing normal director stuff. I mean, normal board of trustees
stop
stuff.
Stop the word.
Right? And you guys can get back into a place to do, you know, your normal job and what you've been doing. So that is my objective, is that's our primary focus, is we've got to get this director hired, right? And then, of course, I'm not going to lie, we also have the budget. The budget work starts in July. And I really want, from a board perspective, for us to be able, and I know we've talked about this, to ensure our employees are being compensated equitably and fairly. And so that survey will be key to help us to understand what can we do.
Can I ask a question here? I mean, since we've brought up Janie or Dell or Susan, so somebody who is not salaried but working 40 hours a week, and you use the right example, because I know I have people who are working time that should be overtime, and they won't claim it because, oh, I only get 40 hours. So can I go ahead and encourage my 40-hour person that if she's working more than 40 hours to report it?
She needs to record all time worked.
Okay.
Not recording all time work puts us in trouble, but we also have to manage that overtime to the budget. So if you're seeing a lot of it, I'm going to tell you, you need to reach out to Mary Ellen and see how that affects the budget. And if it puts a problem on the budget, because we have a budget and the budget is the budget, then we're going to have to, you're going to have to go talk to her and she can't work 40 hours.
Yeah. And then,
or he or her,
that's the point at which we take a look at duties
and say, do we need to hire another person?
Or do you, is Fred standing next to you? Could he do this so you're not working extra hours?
Right. That's part of the manager's job, is to be looking at what is the work being done and is that work being done, right? I mean, that's why I was saying, like, if you're watching the hours, right? It just looked odd to me, right? When I saw that it was like the schedule, it looked like the schedule, except they were taking that break for their lunch. And I was like, so nobody comes in 2 minutes late, nobody leaves 20 minutes later. And I know that's not true because I've been in the library where probably somebody was like working a little longer than they should have, right? So, I mean, that maybe they were scheduled. I shouldn't say should have, then they were scheduled. So as long as they're coming to you guys to get that approved in advance and you're making sure with Mary Ellen, we have the budget to do it, right? And you might look at the overall budget and go, oh, we have all the overall budget to do it. But well, no, we don't. Yeah. You need to look at the line item that we've aligned for the employees, right? The personnel or the salaries. So yes, if they're working over 40 hours as a salaried non-exempt employee, they're the ones that I worry about, because if you have an hourly person.
No, Dell's not even at 40 hours.
So if they're working.
He has flex in his stuff because he doesn't want to work that hard.
Well, I just want to say, hopefully your hourly employees are recording their hours worked, right? Okay, so, but it was just the salaried non-exempt employees who they're supposed to work 40 hours a week, right? But if they work over 40 hours a week, we are required by law to compensate them time and a half. So I just want to make sure that that's not happening. Okay, so
good.
All right. So it wasn't like, oh, you guys aren't doing your job. No, I know that. You know, I realize what you guys are doing in terms of the work you're doing, but I just was trying to understand based on looking at data, what did that mean?
Do we need a motion or to set this aside and table this?
Can we make a motion to set the policy discussion regarding salaried employees recording time and time off requests? We didn't talk about time off requests in the absence of, that's a different thing. The time off request in the absence of the director. All I'm asking is that if you guys are going to take off, let us on the board know so that if something happens, right, then I'll know. Or I mean, maybe that doesn't even need to happen. Maybe you just tell each other.
We never take time off without, because I'm on deck. If Lori's gone, Lori's on deck. If I'm gone, that's bottom line.
I was just, my only concern was like, we would know if something happened
on the same day, we would let you know.
Okay. And if weekends are the really good example, I mean, 2 break-ins in 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things I was thinking about,
45 in the morning and texts and with pictures and all of that, you know, but I mean, also my people know they can pretty much text me anytime they need to. So, I mean, even when I'm gone, I'm not gone. So, and Lori's people are probably the same way.
Same way.
So just so that we're clear, then, you're managing Elizabeth and Albert and you're managing Kyla and Simla.
Well, she's managing staff. I'm doing the purchasing and the POs, and so that there's a one-stop shop. So when I'm ordering books from my library, I'm ordering from Kiowa and Elbert, because I put in a tracking system. So the next person, when the person comes in, they'll be able to learn the collection development from this the documentation that I've created for these libraries, because I've gone a little bit backwards in time. So I have, and it's helped me to study what Ruben was buying for his library, so that I could see what types of books his community wants. Also, how the budget breaks down between Albert and Kiowa. Between Simla and Kiowa, it's very similar, but Albert's a whole different animal. So I am producing all of the POs, I'm doing all the purchasing, Sandy knows if she needs something purchased, either one of us can purchase for Sandy. You know, I purchase everything that they need. And I'm arranging for maintenance because their swamp cooler's been down. They need a toilet installed. They all kinds of stuff. And so, so that's how it's breaking down. Sandy's already her employee.
Yeah, so I see Sandy anyway.
Okay.
Sandy's a shared employee. So that's why personnel-wise, Lori's taking that. And I'm taking on the bigger part of the bigger part of the other deal.
Okay, all right.
Again, okay. Just going with I have tracking systems in place that I have been able to do so that it becomes easier when we do hire a manager.
Okay. So if we look at number 13, then we just want to make a motion to thank you for answering those questions for us on the time off request. Okay. So really, we're only making a motion to table the salaried exempt employees recording time and recording time. We're going to make a motion to table that until and give that to a director. When we have a director hired.
I'll make a motion to table the discussion for salaried exempt employees recording time and time.
Don't do the request. Time off request.
And time off request.
No, don't do the time off.
Just recording time until we a director hired.
Yes.
I second that.
Okay. So Alan first. Robert, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The motion carries. Okay, now we want to switch these around. So we're going to talk about performance evaluations of all library employees. Okay, I put this on the agenda because I looked at the calendar, and if we had a director, we would be doing this for the director. So what I wanted to talk to you guys about was to say, can you do some review of your employees, right? So that when the new director comes in, they have some understanding of how your employees have performed this year. And my comment and my question is, it doesn't have to be something that's like, great, maybe you do a summary of their overall and have a start, stop, continue, right? Kind of thing. Yeah,
I want to be clear about is that for us, historically, performance evaluations are built upon building at the end of the year with each employee. What do we want to get accomplished? And then check in all during the year and say, how are you doing? How are you doing? And when it gets down to the evaluation, it's like not a surprise for anybody.
Right.
We didn't get to set that last year.
Okay.
None of our people have. It's not fair to say they don't have.
We didn't really have objectives for the year.
Objectives for the year, and so.
And I know we both have been giving our employees plenty of feedback. They know, I believe, verbally where they're at. The other thing is historically we don't do evaluations till November or December.
Okay.
That's the time frame we generally, and they're relatively informal.
Well, I was going to say they've changed over time. The year before you and I got here,
they became
there was the 360, and they hated that. And boy, did I hear about that.
Yeah, but then now it's a conversation and a documentation of a conversation.
Okay.
So but
I just wanted to make sure. I know we've had a busy, crazy year, and I didn't want to put aside the fact that that. I saw it on the calendar for like if we had the director, we'd be giving that feedback to a director. Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure it wasn't forgotten. Okay. Anybody else have any comments on that? Okay. Then the staff training day discussion and set date. So this is typically something a director would lead for your library employees where you would take 8 hours and close the library and you'd have a training day. And I talked a little bit.
It's supposed to be on the 5th of August.
Did you already have a date set this year?
It is, but it's in a week.
Yeah, so it's not going to happen.
I was about to say, because I saw that, in the policy or something.
It's in your important date.
Important date.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know if the date had been set or not. So as we talked about before, I kind of talked a little bit to you and a little bit to Lori, is that really is yours, right? It's about training for your employees, but I thought maybe what would be good is to do some kind of a team building event. Let the, you know, take the day off. We pay employees for the day off. Everybody's, it's mandatory. They come, we'll provide. Lori had said something about doing a barbecue. I said, no, we'll just cater the lunch.
Qdoba.
Yeah, let's cater a lunch for everybody.
Yeah.
And then the other thing would be that you guys do some training activity. Kathy said, I don't want people to have to just sit all day and be lectured to. And I would agree with that. Yeah. That wouldn't be fun.
We've had a year. We need to have some fun.
Yeah. So I was saying, like, maybe do that room like Jen is going to set up, right? Do an escape room, like go into Parker. They have an escape room and you guys could do an escape room. I thought maybe what I would like, I mean, I don't need to be involved in your training or I don't want to lead this for you. But I would like, as the president of the board and for the board, to come and give a congratulations and a, you know, give some comments to employees. And we're not able to do that. You know, the only time we're at other libraries is I work, you know, full time. And so if you're retired, you know, you might see them in the library more than you might see me and Sheila, who are working full time, right? So
the last two times she's called me, I've been in the tractor. That's how retired I am.
And so I just want to, you know, we haven't done really a good job at communication in terms to the whole employees and staff. And to the three of you are here today, I mean, I want you to know that we as the board, like, appreciate and recognize the work that you do. We see it, we talk about it. Like, we may not come into your building, I may not come into your building and give you an appreciation. And I apologize, it's not, I don't care, right? So I want to, during your training, whatever, I think it would be good for the board to come and give our appreciation and potentially, you know, show that appreciation. So do you have a date that you're planning on wanting to do that?
We haven't talked about it.
Do you want any help planning it, or do you guys want to do it and set it up and you just
able to do it?
Yeah,
we have the dynamic Jen duo, so it's
we could do a foam day.
Well, Jen and Jen, right?
No, we can do a foam day
for grown-ups.
For grown-ups. No, I'm just kidding.
I will hold whatever the foam is coming out of, but I'm not getting into it.
Thanks. I have water. Oh, I appreciate it. No, thank you. It's this heartburn stuff. It's just like,
really fine. Thank you.
You know, sorry. Thank you. So so in any event, so if you're going to set a date, will you let us know what the date is?
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll coordinate.
Give us enough time to plan, because I'm going to ask you, I'm probably going to come back to you after talking to Mary Ellen, and I'll have to bring it back to the board to talk about maybe potential financial stuff. Okay. All right. Okay, this only comes up because I was doing your role this week in oversight of the the payroll and the accounts receivable or accounts payable. I noticed when I was checking off all of your invoices and all the money you guys spent on terms of books and stuff like that, which was a lot.
It was grant money.
Because you're trying to spend the grant money. Right. But I noticed some of the Amazon expenses did not have taxes and some of them did.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those that have taxes, we need to change that account. If that is not a, this is something the auditor had said to us too, right? We need to have business accounts and we don't need to be charged taxes. So we need to change that.
And that's my fault. I dropped the ball. I mean, we talked about it with Lori Hendrick and it's been actually a sticky on my computer since then.
We have one Amazon account and everybody uses it.
Wendy's Amazon.
Well, the one that I've got, Wendy set up so many years ago, and then we're tax free on it because she got that set up. So I looked into whether we could add, you know, just add some credit cards. That'd be easy. They don't do that anymore. And I think it's probably a good thing because it shouldn't have been set up that way anyway. So we have to get a business account and start from scratch.
Okay.
Which means that we get to have an Amazon consultant. I didn't know there was a live person there. But that's what you do.
Well, I'd like us to do that.
Stomp the boxes.
Yeah. I could use him every now and again,
too. One of the things I shared with Mary Ellen, because she said, why are these like that? And I said, well, I do it on my personal Amazon account. Lori does it on this account that Wendy has set up. And the thing is, if I travel to go buy anything, that 60 miles round trip, that's going to cost the library a whole lot more money than if I just pay the $3 tax or whatever on that item. And, you know, it's just so expensive from, because I mean, you guys,
I'm talking about the Amazon account.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, though. I'm saying
Amazon
for me to purchase, to go in and buy, okay, what did I buy this today? I bought push pins and I bought something else. But if I go out, and I have to go buy these three items, I need them, right? You know, I need them. And so now I'm going to hop in my car and I'm going to have a 60 mile round trip, which I'm going to charge the board, you know, or charge to the travel. And the tax, the tax on that was $3.50.
Yeah.
It only makes sense for me to go ahead and use the Amazon account, you know, and because if I run to Walmart, you guys have a Walmart just two yes. blocks away.
I don't think as a board, we have a problem with you using the Amazon account. We want Wendy. We do not want Wendy's account.
Yeah.
We need to get a business account so we don't have to pay those taxes.
I looked at putting it was and Kathy in, and they won't add any because that kind of account is obsolete. They don't. That's right. We're grandfathered in. So we got to start over again, but I can handle that.
Okay. And then the other thing is if you guys are doing expenses, like you're running to the store and you're getting something, like you said, you know, I'm going to get push pins and whatever. I want you to please make sure you're using your credit card. All of your expenses should be on your credit card, or they should be on an Amazon account or through your ordering vendor, right? I noticed you have some books. We shouldn't be like having like receipts for, I don't know, you go to the grocery store and you have a receipt, right? That really, if it's a library expense, you should be putting it on your library card.
Well, I think I had two this month.
Unless it's petty cash.
And I did use petty cash just recently, but I also made the mistake of purchasing two games for Oculus, not realizing that it was my credit card that somehow got on. I swear I set it up with my manager credit card and it went, and then all of a sudden on my personal email it says your Oculus and I went and so heck? It was just an error.
I just noticed that we had expenses that weren't on a card. They were given, we were getting a receipt from Walmart or receipt from wherever.
You buy from Walmart with our credit cards.
The tricky thing for us, and it was very much so with Ruben, I think, is having Walmart and Safeway right there. Folks without credit cards are also running over. Like Jen and Jamie are buying supplies for story time.
Submit that?
We need to have a card that they? The reason why I'm asking because I think I saw in the policy that only certain people could charge. And I thought it was the activity services guides and the managers. I'm just thinking, I have to go back and look at that, but it's cleaner.
Yeah.
It looks better from an audit perspective if our expenses that we're purchasing things are done via a company credit card.
Okay, right.
And so like I did a purchase for Jen. She just brings me a thing. I ordered it from Walmart. Did it all on my card and she picked it up yesterday.
Yeah, or you can do that, right? As long as it's on your library card.
Right, and I can't do that with everything. But Dell had to buy something. We put in a key deal here like you have. And so he had to buy very specific screws and I bought the wrong kind. So so it's petty cash.
Yeah. Petty cash is different, right? That's a little different, but I'm just talking about any other expenses. I just noticed that we have this mixture and they really ought to be.
For the news, could I get some clarity here?
Sure.
When you're talking about library card, is that the Amazon card?
They have credit cards. They have like an Elon credit card.
It's a Visa.
Visa card.
It's an Elon Visa credit card that you use as your library purchase card.
Yes.
And so we're not doing Amazon.
No, we do Amazon too.
But we purchase with our credit cards.
Yeah, we purchase with our credit cards.
Okay. Yeah.
Now we do or have had a library account with Office Depot. I found Office Depot so bloody hard to use that I very rarely will go to them.
Wendy used them.
Wendy used them.
In other words, you use this Elon Visa card for lots of stuff, including Amazon.
They buy books, they buy equipment, they buy whatever they need on these cards.
I'm trying to get this out.
Sure. And then, but just so you know, on the Amazon, it's an account, it's not a card. Yeah, they use their cards to charge on Amazon. Yeah. But I want to make sure that the Amazon cards are in the library's name, not because it was Wendy's or because it was whatever. Yeah. We need to have a business account. That was something the auditor said, and not pay taxes. Okay.
Public comment.
Any public comment?
We're too long.
Sorry.
There's a public right there.
There's no public.
I'd like to take the opportunity to just make a comment. You know, I know that I haven't been able to be in front of the board. Mm-hmm. Lori and Kathy both know that in February this year, my daughter was born early. She spent some time in the NICU.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't have any type of maternity leave. I'm a part-time employee. So when I come to meetings like this and I get to listen to all of you, and Patty, I'll go back to something that you mentioned, you know, recognition. You don't get a chance to get down here to Simla very often. You don't get a chance to talk to us very often. For us employees, I will refer to myself, the peasants, you know.
Oh, I don't think
here,
so.
We're doing the operational work as far as we're implementing the programs. We're checking in the books and we're checking out the books. Your actions and your decisions and the things that you do and the things that you say, those reflect to us whether we are valued employees. As an employee, and I will say that, yes, I may feel a little defensive when I hear salaries and bonuses come up mm-hmm. for the two managers that I know without a shadow of a doubt, I can call at any point in time, I can text at any point in time, and that never goes unanswered. When I was in the hospital, those were the two ladies that showed me the recognition. It's important to us as employees who don't get access to you mm-hmm. that through the employee handbooks, the decisions that you make, the policies that you put in place, those are the things that for us show us the recognition when you can't physically be in our doors. So I suppose this is more rhetorical than it is that I need a response from you. I've listened to the things that you've said tonight. When we receive employee handbooks and we see things like the fact that I didn't get a maternity leave with my daughter. We left the NICU on a Thursday and I returned to a working status that following Monday. And it was hard. And heard nothing from any of you.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for being emotional.
No.
It's been a long 6 months.
I should say, too, along the same lines, our bereavement leave is 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who bereaves, especially if it's a close family? I mean, I got 3 days. That's it. My dad passed and I got 3 days.
Mm.
Me too.
That's what I got at my employer. Go to the different places. I use my dog as an excuse, but I see Lori on a regular basis because I'm there once a week checking out books. But I understand where you're coming from, and again, that's why I'm asking when you do your reading programs, because I'll be a pest. I'll be here.
We want you to. I think it's important.
It's time for me to interact with you folks, the local people.
Well, and I'll tell you this, we've heard it a lot. We have over the last year, just since I've been here, we've heard it a lot. And I understand that you work full time. I understand that you have other things on your plate that you have to do. I think what's important to us, and from my perspective, and solely from my perspective, this is just merely an opinion. When I come to a board meeting and I watch the board discuss longer whether to pay our two managers a bonus for the work that they're clearly doing, the two that are sitting in front of you that are here right now that you need to retain, because we need them. We can't do this without them.
Agreed.
And yet, to see you discuss a line item about compensation surveys, which I'm not discrediting or taking away from its importance, but to set aside a $7,200 budget for that, and then to even discuss, do we take away from where Lori was getting paid $1,500 and look at doing $1,000 each way, which in just the estimated time that Patty gave us, and that there may be a director even before we talked about it being until a new manager was hired. That's less. Over 3 months, that's less than what you discussed and set a limit to for a 40-hour compensation survey. That's what we see. That's the type of stuff we see. We don't see the behind-the-scenes stuff that y'all are doing and the conversations that you're having, the time that you're volunteering to this board, but those are the types of things that we as employees see, and that is what reflects to us as what our value is of the employees of this library district. So it's important to me because I have felt it. I have lived through it. And I mean, just like yourselves, I know it's been a very long meeting tonight, but I have also been away from my daughter all night long. And, you know, I'll be right back at it tomorrow, getting things taken care of for our community here, just like Lori and Kathy are. I just think that when we reflect back, we go back on these board meetings, I just hope that that's something that when you're making the decisions that you're making, that you take into consideration, because that is what is important to us. It's not always seeing your face, because we understand we also work too, but it's seeing the reflection of what you're choosing and whether you're choosing the employees of this library district over things that we sometimes deem as being menial. So Robert talked about communication and the importance of that. So I felt like, more for a rhetorical reason than anything else, that was something that I felt was important for me to share.
I appreciate you sharing that. I think the board values input and comments, and I mean, I think we try really hard to be collaborative with the managers and the people that work with us. I mean, if you were sitting at a Board of County Commissioners public comment, you'd get 3 minutes and nobody would respond, right? And so that's not who we are. We do value your opinion. And I'm sorry, I did not know that you were in NICU and that, you know, that struggle that you had. I will tell you that I've written down the topic on bereavement leave, and I've written down the topic on maternity leave, and some of that is driven by, you know, funding, right? We have to look at that. We have to look at the funding. I know you guys see a big amount of money that you see in the budget in reserve, and it looks like, I say this as an employee myself, it gives the appearance that we care more about a building than we care about our employees, but that is not true. We have an operating revenue that we get every year that we can't just, our biggest concern is we want to make sure we're compensating people fairly, but we also don't want to be the people who say, oh, we're going to give you this amount, and then next year we say, oh, we can't give you any money, right? That, I mean, we have a budget we have to manage to and try to plan to. And so, and we have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers. And I get the $7,200. Everybody's complaining it's a lot of money. But it's just for a baseline for us to be able to try to do better than what we've done in the past in terms of compensation for the employees, right? So I think the return on investment is important if it means that we can do something better for our employees.
And we may not have to spend that money.
And we may not. And I hope we don't. Like, I hope we don't. But I just want to say that we value you, and I value your input, and I thank you for, you know, speaking up and saying how you feel. And again, I just want to apologize for the fact that I don't think we knew that you were in NICU and that your baby, you know, that's a big deal. And if we'd have known that, I think like your managers rallied around you and your employees, we would have done that. We tried to be courteous of Wendy when she left. We tried to be thoughtful and courteous of Ruben, for example, when he left. And, you know, this death that's happened, we'll want to send something to them and, you know, let Elizabeth know that we're there for her and we're sorry this has happened. I mean, and I think it would be important, managers, if you would let us know when things like this happen, so that we as a board, we're all kind, gentle people, thoughtful people, right? Trying to do the right thing for the employees and for the taxpayers, of which I'm one, right? So I just want you to know how much we appreciate you, and thank you for your feedback. That's so for me.
Yeah. When I first joined the board, and I, you know, Alan and Patty were here, and so was Karen. There was no conduit to you guys. I sat through that one meeting upstairs at the library, and it was clear to, especially Alan and I that night, we talked about this at great length, how much hostility had been building. Never had we had a discussion about the deficiencies of the people sitting in these chairs, you know, that were coming back at us. We really felt at that point we had really changed the culture by even allowing, I mean, how many meetings have you sat through where you guys never were allowed to speak? I mean, there was tons of those. And I'd always felt kind of strange to me. So I was thrilled that we could start getting that feedback. Like everything else, sometimes when you open the doors, it comes through fast and hard. And you end up carrying the water for people that are no longer on the board. And believe me, there were times when it would have been easier to just walk away than to sit there and say, well, you know, yeah, I know you just jumped all over me, didn't do it, but yeah. I know this is important. You're important. And all I can speak for are the people sitting here now. And we want your voice. We make sure on every meeting that we say, tell us what you're feeling, tell us what you're doing. Sometimes we can't get out. I don't know how Patty does it. She is in a grind of a job. I would never, ever put up with some of the things that they put her through. And yet she still calls me on a regular basis and talks to me about how can we make this more equitable for the staff. And it doesn't translate sometimes very well because we end up getting, you know, all of these things on the other side of the ledger where our responsibility or the fiscal sort of demands of the thing, taxpayers, et cetera. And that doesn't feel very human sometimes. But when you hear about somebody having a baby and then being back to work as quick as you were, or no maternity leave, it grips me. And I'm sorry that you had to go through that. I do know this board well enough to know that had we known, had we done a better job, all of us, not just us, you guys too, of getting us this word that somebody's, I mean, I have so relied upon Lori, for instance. My niece came down with breast cancer as a lot of this stuff fired up, and it was just horrible, and she was going through stuff, and to have somebody to talk to about it, et cetera, it's important because we're human. And I feel horrible that you feel like we're deaf to that. I can promise you that we're never going to shut that door again.
I can tell you as a woman, I feel horrible about that.
Well, and I want to make it very, very clear to the board that I don't harvest any hostility against board members. Any of that, all of that, Robert, was before my day and age.
I know,
right.
But your tears are real.
And I feel it. And I think what is important to me, because this is the first time I've had the opportunity to be in front of you, is that I understand, like you said, the responsibility to us, the responsibility to the taxpayers. I think for us, we have such a different perspective than what you have, given your positions that you've been in. I think what's important for us and the things that we look at is that, yes, we know the building is a big topic of conversation. Robert, just like you said, when times got really tough, you had the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm right. Walking away. And that's the easier route. And that's what I could have done. When I came home with a newborn from the NICU on oxygen, that's what I could have done. And then I would have been another physician that would have had to have been replaced. I'd have been a resource for my community that they would have said, well, where did Jen go?
Yeah.
And now my community is lacking. And it's a big burden to carry on our shoulders. And we understand that burden that you carry on your shoulders as well. But understand our perspective. And that's solely what this comment is, or that, you know, my feedback to you is that I don't harvest hostility because nobody called me, right? Nobody called and said, oh, I'm so sorry you experienced that. But I want you to understand that there were some of you that were on the board when the employee handbook came out. And it was in the employee handbook that, you know, part-time employees don't receive certain types of leave. So for us, who we sit down and we read every single page and every single section, yeah, that we, myself, go, okay, shoot, what am I supposed to do when my daughter is born in a couple, yeah, of months? So I want to, and it's important for me to give you that feedback so you understand that perspective, because in our eyes, yes, we do see numbers and we see budgets, and I understand working within constraints of budgets because I have to for my programs as well. But what we see is that, yes, you do have things set aside for this building, but that building is not going to be important if we're not here. So it's just solely a perspective. It's not a, please explain to me why we're doing this and why we're putting money aside for this. It's just solely to give back to you, because though, yes, you are volunteers to this board of the library, you also do hold a lot of power in our eyes.
Well, and let me add to that. It is a luxury that I can walk away from this job. You don't have that option. And I am well aware of it.
I mean, you have the option, but you don't. No. That's what he's saying.
I mean, you don't. You're a responsible caretaker,
right,
of your daughter, and nobody's going to get upset if I walk away. So we're aware of it.
Do you think we might have a party if we walk away?
They may.
Well, it comes back to I. Sometimes I feel like I'm a pest when I look in the door to talk to Lori.
Oh, no.
And pick her brain or ask a question. Sometimes I think she's probably going to think this is dumb, but it's a question I have, and I'm getting better about asking things. And same thing about when I talk to Kathy. That's why, for me, I'm retired. I do have some responsibilities with other things.
Sorry, but I didn't mean to devalue you by saying you don't have other responsibilities. You get your dog job. That was not the intent. I'm sorry.
They're volunteers. Anyway, so I do want to I want to make the effort to get around to places on a more regular basis. And this I've been down here a few times. But it's good to get around and talk to the individual employees. So
Tim left when our president did this. It was turmoil. And I just want to acknowledge Patty for taking over the presidency and guiding us, because we have to be a board and run the library. And a number of us were wanting to ditch, but we decided not to ditch. And
I appreciate that.
It was actually handed to me and I didn't possess the skill set. And I, so I said, if you don't take it.
It was very problematic.
And I appreciate that, but I did it because I love libraries and libraries are important to me. And I asked people on the board who wanted to ditch, please don't ditch. We have a responsibility to the employees and to the taxpayers to fix this, to right this wrong. And that has been my focus this whole year. I may come across as, if you email me in the middle of the day and I respond, I'm doing it between a meeting and I may be direct and maybe it doesn't come across in the right way. Pick up the phone and call me. Like there have been times Laurie and I picked up, let's talk about this. I listen. I may not always agree, but I do listen and I do care about each and every employee. And I am looking for ways to ensure that for the board that we can acknowledge that, you know, your hard work and your effort. I appreciate you guys for giving me recognition that, but I don't need that. I'm not in this for power or control. The only reason I am in this role is because I care about libraries. And this is, I care about libraries. Libraries are the center of the community. And the library doesn't mean anything, you're right, without employees. And so my goal was just to try to keep the employees that we had and to try to make things better, right? And I know this has been a hard year for everybody involved. And I appreciate everybody so much for sticking in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been hard, but I can see us on the other side. I can see us with a director who inspires and grows the library and gives you guys the inspiration and the guidance and walks the talk. That's what I want for you guys. All the things you want, I want that for you guys. I want to leave this library better than when I came in as the president, better than that. I want to make sure that you guys are streaming ahead and that the services that you provide and the people that you are is acknowledged, right? It's been hard. We're going to get there. We're going to try to do what we can, but I don't do this for, I mean, some people say, oh, you might go do this because you want to go do this. No, I don't. I want to retire. I'm like Lori. I want to retire. I'm getting really close. I want to retire, right? I do this because I love libraries. I care about people. I mean, that's who I am. And you don't know that because I don't come in here and see you and meet you, Jennifer. But that's why it was so important for me to tell you, like, I see what you're doing on the website. I think it's wonderful. I think, you know, I hear Kathy, like, praises you, like, all the time because you're just so great. And you are. I was thinking today because I was trying to put together a spreadsheet of each of the managers, who their employees are, you know, full-time salaried exempt, blah, blah, blah. I was trying to put all that together and look at it so that when we start to do the budget, I have a better understanding. I can see it all in one place. And I put down Jennifer and Jennifer, and I smiled because I thought, I know, like, how great they're doing, and we're so lucky to have them, you know, and I want to keep you, right? So from a board perspective, I'm going to make a recommendation to the board to do the best we can to compensate people, right? And I'm not trying to be difficult when I talk about 1,000 or 1,500. It's not my decision. It's a board decision. And I don't ever want anybody to think that Patty's making these decisions and that, you know, I'm driving it. I'm not. That's why I sat back and said, you guys decide, and I'll go with whatever everybody decides. It has to be a board decision. And it's not that they're not valued. They are valued. Every employee is valued. So I hope you know that. And I hope you know that I will, as the president of the board, I will do everything I can to do the right thing for employees, you know, and balance that with the fiduciary responsibility of, you know, considering the taxpayer dollar. I say that. I don't say it because I just say it. I say it because that's who I am. You don't know me, but they know me. They've known me for a while, and they know, you know, that I think my heart is in the right place, right, for the people who work here.
I can tell you that it is absolutely in the right place.
All the time. All the time.
He spends more time putting out reports than any president that I have had in my short tenure with this
They get more information than they want sometimes, I'm sure.
Actually, this bullet probably talks to more each other than any board that I have. I've been involved with three different deals, and I've only been on the board a short time, but this group talks to each other. Some of us talk every other day. I mean, I talked to Robert, what, twice today?
Yeah.
And so I don't talk to her so much.
They can't even find me.
I hear through the grapevine she does different things, and I rely on Patty that anything that she wants to get to the rest of us, she can call us. Sometimes I'm available. I've gotten phone calls when I'm in the ring judging dogs. You answered this question, and I've answered. I've stopped and I answered it. So it's I'm weird.
I don't want to take up too much more.
We have one more vote to do. So
I was going to say, I promise I won't say anything else.
I do want to say that the thing that has been foremost on my mind since I joined the board, which was only really a few months ago, has been compensating our employees. I'm glad we're doing a compensation study, because I am sure we are not compensating them appropriately. And I want to know that, and I want us to make that better. And if I haven't seen our employee handbook, but if it's that bad, we probably need to be looking at that again.
Well, it was just redone last year, and it was added. No, it was done, and it was updated, and it was probably it might be more directive because it was written by a lawyer, and we'll look at the things.
The impression that the employees got was that any human quality that was in the previous handbook was gone. It was strictly legalese, and it looked like a template, a boilerplate. Yeah. It was a boilerplate that the guy threw our names into. And unless you are skilled enough to read legalese, some of our employees cannot read that handbook.
I agree, and we're going to make some adjustments.
Good point.
That was under Jim's control.
Well, I'm not going to.
I'm not bashing him.
No,
I'm just saying that's the way his personality.
Yeah.
But the handbook is a good handbook.
The previous handbook was much more user-friendly.
It needs to be user-friendly so you can read it and understand it.
As automatrons and robots. That
I agree.
Do you have one from the past?
I'm sure it's on the. I could find a copy.
Would you send it to me?
Yeah,
It reads that you are human. And this is how we feel about you. This one is, I'm just a robot.
No, I get it.
And
yeah.
It's strictly legal. It's horrible.
Would you send it to me? Because will you send me the previous one? Because I'm going to revamp and make adjustments on this one so that it's more user friendly. But I would like to see what you had before.
I can vouch for everybody here. We didn't have any say so.
Things that are
the legal things.
Taking away one, add to the other.
Right.
If you have it and you can send it to me, we'll look at it.
I have a page here where I have my to do list that I got.
If you could send it to me, then I can look at it and I can do a compare. Okay. No, we have one more thing. Any other items from business board members? And there is one thing, and it is the library manager salary for Kiowa. And so I looked at that. I talked about it with Mary Ellen. I looked at your salaries. And so I'm recommending that the board recommend 37.5 to 43.5, depending upon experience.
42 to 48, because if somebody comes with a killer experience, I don't know. You have the choice, but
I can't.
Neither one of us started at 35. We started at.
I said 37.5 to 43.5. I can't take them higher than where we have employees today.
Right, I get that. But I also think, well, there could be somebody that comes in that has if they don't have the skill set, you don't give them that higher amount. But
it's more than just that, right? Like, we look at experience, we look at education, we look at seniority. I can't pay them more than what we pay Lori or what we pay you.
Right, I get that.
So, and then, okay, so we hire somebody in, and then we do the bonuses, right? We still got to keep that, not bonuses, we do the salary for 2023, we still got to keep that. I don't want to bring somebody in paying them higher than you right now. If we get the salary survey back, for example, and we see in the salary survey we're way underpaying our managers and we have to look at that too, right? Then maybe what happens is we do a bump up, right? Like we might have to do employees. We got to do a bump up, right? But I don't want to bring somebody in and create a disparity where somebody with less time with the libraries is making more money than the two managers that have already been here. So I mean, I say 37.5 to 43.5. I could even say 37.5 to 4,400.
We'll see. Okay.
Depending upon experience.
If you have somebody that comes in, so let's say they're young. Let's say they're Chelsea. And they're young and they have gotten their MLIS, but they're not in a position to say be a director at this point. That person really should come in above me. I mean, I have 2 degrees, but they have library specific training that I don't have. And that's why I'm saying, I am not saying that a person coming into Ruben's position would not have a higher skill set that's specific to libraries. I have a strong skill set for what I do, and I love what I do, but
then I could say,
that's all I'm saying is,
then I could say 37.5 to 45.
I think that's better.
I think that's good.
And it gives, I mean, the good part about that is it gives you the opportunity to provide that to somebody. If they have the qualifications. If they don't, yeah, then you go on the
well website. I mean the reason I shook my head is because I would never discount your experience.
Well, I don't discount her experience, it's different experience, right? But the one thing that I do, I mean, somebody, I understand where she's talking about, somebody who has a degree maybe in library science, right, and has that training,
maybe they're young,
that skill,
and they want, they're building
is important resume, you know? But I can say 45,000 because I feel like we still are not overcompensating what we're paying to Kathy or to Lori. And then we can look at it again when it comes end of the year when we're doing the budgets.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of response we get. I mean, you know,
we need to vote on it though. We need a motion.
Yeah. I was surprised and thrilled that we got Gen Y because she came from Douglas County where she was making a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a specific situation. On the other hand, Douglas County right now, the position below being branch manager, they're right now advertising at 58,000 to 71,000.
And we can't pay that.
And that's not a branch manager. So it'll be interesting to see.
But we're going to compete with that specific job.
I understand.
Because people from Parker.
Less responsibility, more money.
Yeah.
But it's a bigger library district.
Well, yeah, it's a bigger library district. And I, from personal experience, can say that they do build a golden cage. That's what they do it with, is with their high pay.
And that's why, you know, like you said, culture is important, right? Like, there's more that people need to look at. Like, do you want to work in a smaller library where you have more like a family close culture, right? Versus working in a bigger library where maybe you're a number, where you're not, you know. But I think I can do, I mean, I think we need to make a motion, that we, for the replacement library manager for Kiowa Albert, that we use a salary range of 37.5 to 45. 37,500 to 45,000.
Okay. Well, then I'll get because we've got everything else ready to go. I'll get it posted tomorrow.
Okay.
And then,
okay.
Gotta make a motion.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
Any more discussion?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So my motion is for the branch manager for Kiowa, we're going to advertise at 37.5 to 45.
Depending on experience
for a salary for our branch manager for Kiowa.
Yeah.
I second that.
I just have one other question because Lori and I are going to be doing the interviewing and what have you with our lead, with Susan in particular. Do we determine?
I think that you.
The two of us determine the actual salary at that point based on our knowledge of
that. Well, but we'll have to run it by the board.
I think because this would normally be a director, just like the kind of the admin role. When you find your selection, I'd like you to bring it back to the board. And if we need to have a special meeting so that we can
approve
it, that you've selected this person at this. Yeah. Thank you for asking that question, that when you've selected your person for the admin or selected the person for the library manager and what you want to pay them, that you come back to the board, you tell us about their qualifications and their experience, what they're going to bring to the table. And
all in favor.
All in favor, say aye. Aye. And it carries. Okay.
I'm going to
motion to adjourn or
whatever. Oh, yes. Can we get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Adjourn at 9:30.
9:38.
You guys, we have put in a lot of hours at these board meetings.